The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Talk about Mousetrap today. Now, how many of you have played Mousetrap? It amazes me how sheltered some of you are. Let's pray and ask God to open our hearts. We're going to talk about forgiveness today. Believe it or not, we're going to use Mousetrap to talk about forgiveness. So let's pray. God, thanks. I ask, Lord, that you would bless us today, Father. Speak to our hearts, God. This is such an important message for each one of us. God, do something great. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. Now, when I was a kid, we had a mousetrap game. I loved this game. It was fun because you had to build it. You know, you go through the steps and you build it and you put it together. And have you ever seen a Rube Goldberg machine? Wow. Okay. There's an internet out there, folks. You really need to, like, look at some of these things. Rube Goldberg was an old cartoon. They would do it on a regular basis. And he would build these huge imaginative things to do things like put toast in. And it would go through like 25 different steps, different mechanical things, and all of a sudden it would put the toast in. And he made these real weird. So Mousetrap was like that. You would build it, and maybe it's just be easier. Let's watch the video. Okay, you can't really catch children in it. I mean, trust me, if I could have, we would have. Now, the Mousetrap game works great. You saw the little marble goes down, and our little steel ball bearing thing goes down, and it triggers thing, a boot kicks it, and it flips a guy into the bathtub, and then the little mousetrap thing comes down, and if your mouse is the one that's on that square, you're trapped and you're out of the game. Right? It's fun. You're a kid, it's fun. It's better than hitting each other with sticks, which we did a lot. Now, here's the thing. The mousetrap game worked great the first, 10 times we played it. And then somebody lost a piece. Now the mousetrap game doesn't work. Now it goes through, it kicks the ball, blah, 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 and you have to flip the little guy into the bathtub because the little thing that kicks him in the bathtub is gone. Who loses that little flip thing that puts the guy in the bathtub? We may have lost the guy that flipped into the bathtub. I don't remember. I remember we lost pieces. And eventually there's like, you know, 7 or 8 pieces there. And it's just no fun to play anymore because there's pieces missing. So you throw the game away or you put it in the closet with all the other unused games like the chess and checker set that your grandma bought you that nobody ever plays. Parcheesi. Chinese checkers. Nobody ever plays Chinese checkers. Chinese people don't play Chinese checkers. See, when the pieces were missing, the game wasn't any fun anymore. You had to just wasn't right. We're going to talk today about a missing piece from a lot of our marriages and a lot of our homes, and that's forgiveness. Just like mousetrap doesn't work without that little steel ball bearing, your home won't work without forgiveness. Now, I've preached about forgiveness here many times. I try to preach on it at least once a year because I love the concept that we must forgive. Forgiveness, if you're a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. It is a must. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, go on. Then we get to the part where it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you've heard this message before. As we means literally in the same way. So God, you forgive me the way I forgive other people. But then it's so important that in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, just right after he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, he says this. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you see any hedge or any way around that right there? If you forgive those who sin against you, your Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive, you don't get forgiven either. My forgiveness of others equals God's forgiveness of me. And if I'm stingy with my forgiveness, if I withhold my forgiveness, God withholds his. Is that? Some of you look at me like I've grown a third head or like I'm missing my beard. I am. It's not my idea. I got a memo at the sheriff's office that I had to shave it, so I shaved it. I'm not crazy about it. I look like Uncle Fester or a Cabbage Patch doll. I've heard it all this week. Trust me. Now, look, forgiving other people is hard. It's difficult, and sometimes we struggle with it. But if forgiving other people is hard, asking for forgiveness is 10 times harder. When you're the offendee, I mean, you're the one who has to ask for forgiveness. When someone asks you for forgiveness, it's easy. You can say, okay, don't worry about it. It's all in the past. We know we're supposed to because, what did we just read? Well, I have to forgive you because if you don't, God's not going to forgive me. And I don't know about you. I know some of you are perfect. I know. And so this is probably not for you. But for others of us, all of us, we need to be forgiven by God. Anybody here make it through a whole week without sinning? Anybody here make it through a whole day? Anybody here make it through an hour without sinning? I think I'm at the 5-10 minute mark maybe. Okay? We all need to be forgiven, so we all need to be forgiving. So we understand that, and that's okay. We get that. We're going to forgive. But when you're the person who has offended someone, that is a whole different ballgame. And so we're going to look at forgiveness today, not from you forgiving, because you know you need to do that. If you didn't know you needed to do that when you got here, you know now. Anybody here unclear on that concept? You must forgive in order for God to forgive you. Anybody here unclear on that? Okay. I held up a football practice one time. I was really mad at my team. I stole it from Vince Lombardi. I held up a football and I said, "This is a football. Am I going too fast for any of you?" "You're funny, coach." Okay? It's hard when you're going to ask for forgiveness. The Bible tells us again and again that we're supposed to forgive one another and confess our sins to one another. And it implies that there's that give and take relationship. But there are problems when we have to start asking other people to forgive us. When two people are at odds with each other, what do you do when one person doesn't want to forgive? So we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit. Understand that we're supposed to forgive somebody no matter how many times they come and ask for forgiveness. Hello? Yeah, you get real quiet there. Like, oh, okay, wait. What, you mean there's not a limit? Look at Matthew 18. Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? And you can hear Peter like thinking, I'll give the guy 7 times. I'm good like that. I have a good heart. 7 times. And then Jesus blew his brain. You could see the little explosion like that commercial where the purple smoke comes out of guys' heads. "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. For those of you who are not good at math, that's 490. I was told there'd be no math. Look, and that doesn't mean that we walk around with a clipboard. Okay. Zeus, that's 489. One more, and I'm going to lower the boom. It's coming. No. We just forgive and forgive. And why do we forgive? Because we need forgiveness. Do you want God to limit you to 490 times? Look, for some of you, that's a bad hour. That's one meeting at work where somebody's making me mad. 490, I can surpass that really quickly. Like when I read a memo that says I have to shave my beard. Look, I was past 490 right away. When you're both Christians, it should be where you say, I forgive you, you forgive me, let's go on. If you're in a family situation, husband, wife, children, parents, whatever, I forgive you, you forgive me, let's go on. But what about when it's you that needs forgiveness and you alone? You're the one who's messed up. You're the one who has made the mistake. And you've got nobody to blame but you. Now let's be honest. You got to accept responsibility. I messed up. Sorry. You'll be glad to know, maybe not glad to know, but I will tell you anyway, that today's message is not merely an academic exercise. This is not something I was thinking, you know, Jerry, what should I do if I was in a situation? No, this is all personal experience. Okay? I know it's hard for you to believe, I am not perfect. I know it's shocking, and I know some of you pick your jaw up off the floor, it's okay. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, and I have to ask people to forgive me. So let me give you some ideas about what you can do and how to handle it. First of all, let's talk about three can'ts. Three can'ts. Number one, you can't undo anything. In this world of video games, we're real good at the undo button. If you're typing and you type in the wrong word or you accidentally get rid of a whole paragraph. I know I've done that. Control Z on your keyboard is undo. Oh, look, it's there. It's back. Hallelujah. But if you've done something to hurt somebody, you can't undo that. You can't go to them and say, hey, by the way, you remember that thing I did yesterday that really hurt your feelings and made you cry? Let's just forget about that. Hey, I didn't do it, okay? Let's just start over. Look, it's Tuesday all over again. No, it's Saturday and I'm still mad at you. Now look, when you ask for forgiveness, a lot of times the other person will forgive you. They'll do it without hesitation. Whatever you did, whatever you said, you've been forgiven. And that's good. But it still happened. You still messed up. You still hurt that person. If you keep in mind that you can't undo what you do, and you can't unsay what you say, maybe you'll need to ask for forgiveness less often in the future. Well, that's just my temper. I'm just a passionate person. I was teaching school. I had an African-American student. He told me, that's my Irish temper, Mr. Godsey. I said, you're not Irish. We have all kinds of excuses, don't we? But the bottom line is, we need to watch what we say and what we do. We need to be careful how we treat the people around us. And if we do that more often, if we stop, if we put that one little 5-second delay between our brain and our mouth, we can save ourselves a lot of hassle. If you're needing to ask someone for forgiveness, I'm not telling you this to make you feel worse. But you got to make it right. I'm saying this to help you remember that you can't undo what you did. So quit trying to make it act like that other person. Well, you know, let's just make it go away. Sometimes it doesn't go away that easily. You asking for forgiveness doesn't undo anything. Second can't. You can't control someone's willingness to forgive. If you've offended someone, it's up to you to ask for forgiveness. When they ask you, they may forgive you when you ask, they may forgive you or they may not forgive you. Maybe they're not in a place where they're ready to forgive you. They're supposed to. We all read the scripture. Here's one thing you don't want to do. Will you forgive me for what I did? And by the way, you have to, because God said. Will you forgive me? Because if you don't, you know you're going to hell. May not quite go on. Sometimes people have to forgive in a process. I read about a husband whose wife committed adultery, and he forgave her for committing adultery, and then every day reminded her of her sin. That's not forgiveness. You just continue to beat them up with the past. Some people are slow to forgive because they're still hurt. You have to let people work their way through it sometimes. I can't make you accept my forgiveness. All I can do is ask you to forgive me sincerely, not sorry. I'm sorry. You ever ask a five-year-old to ask for, you know, you go tell him you're sorry. Sorry. You're not sorry. You're not sorry. You can see their mind spinning. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't kill you because the next time I'm sorry I got caught. We do that. We make sorry like this king's ex. Okay, well, I said I'm sorry, so everything's good now. Let's go. Not always. If you ask for forgiveness with a thorough understanding of the consequences of your behavior and with a sincere desire to make things right, then at that point, you've done all you can do. Do not go to the person and say, hey, have you forgiven me yet? Hey, by the way, remember 2 weeks ago when I asked you to forgive me? Have you forgiven me yet? Because I'm still waiting. I'm still wondering how that's going on you. In our relationships, forgiveness is not always a given. It should be. In a perfect world, it would be. But sometimes it's not. You know what they're supposed to do, but sometimes people struggle with what they're supposed to do. They may even flat out refuse to forgive you. And in that case, you just go on. You can't control them. And by the way, you're asking them to forgive you is not a way of making them forgive you. It's clearing your slate. When you ask somebody to forgive you, all you're doing is making sure that you've done the things you're supposed to do. Does that make sense? You can't make them forgive you. The third can't ignore it. And we try this. What do you mean I hurt you? I didn't hurt you. I was just kidding. I didn't mean it when I said you're fat. I didn't mean it when I said your toast tastes like dog food. Can't pretend it didn't happen. You've got to acknowledge it. If you've sinned against someone, you must deal with it. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. If you're praying and you remember that you've offended somebody, go take care of it. You can't forgive, I'll deal with it eventually. No. Go take care of it now. Because if you've offended someone, you need to deal with that. Before you cozy up to God on Sunday morning, you need to make sure that you have taken care of all the things you've done that are wrong. In fact, Jesus is saying here, you can't be right with God and remain wrong with others. Can't be right with God and be wrong with others. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:18, do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Does that include going and asking for forgiveness? Yeah. You can't ignore it. When you go through a 12-step program like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, something like that, you go through the 12 steps, and you eventually get to step number 8, which is we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. That's step 8. I've made a list of all the people that I've offended, and I'm going to go make that right. Which is really just Matthew 5:23 and 24. If you're praying and you realize you've offended somebody, go take care of that right then. Nobody said this stuff is easy. This stuff is hard, especially in a marriage relationship. Because here's the thing. You got a husband and you got a wife, and they both have different personalities. They both bring different sets of values and the way they deal with things. Most men are like, you know, said it was sorry. Come on, let's go. But wives take it deeper. Wives hurt deeper. They're more sensitive. Not all. Some women are like, just suck it up, buttercup. My wife is not one of those. So let me give you three hopes. If you ask for forgiveness, here's what you hope happens. First of all, you seek to accomplish reconciliation. Reconciliation brings everything together. There's no more tension between you two. If a relationship is broken or even strained, you need to do what you can to remove the obstacle that stands between you and the other person. Most of the time, this is accomplished by a simple apology. Guys, I will tell you, you'll make your marriage so much sweeter if you will just learn the simple phrase, I'm sorry. But you know, we're macho. I don't have to say that. Yeah, you do. You really do. And if you don't, you're not macho. You're stupid. You just are. I'm sorry. And not, again, like the five-year-old, sorry. Said it was sorry. No. In fact, give it more meaning than that. Honey, I flew off the handle the other day, and I am so sorry about that. And there better be a period at the end of that sorry. Not, I'm sorry, but. I'm sorry, but you make me so mad when you. That's not apologizing, that's justifying. Well, if you wouldn't do that, then I would. No. That's not apologizing. Don't do that. You've got to accept the responsibility, and the way to accept responsibility is you're hoping to reconcile, and you can't reconcile if you're blaming the other person. I'm sorry. If the other person's a believer, then they may say, okay. Once they see that you're serious about reconciliation, everything may be fine, depending on what you've done. You know, if I step on your toe in the elevator, sorry. Like, you know, I hate Godsey. 3 years ago, we were in an elevator together. He stepped on my toe, and I still hold it against him. And granted, if I step on your toe, you may still walk with a limp 3 years later, but you should still forgive me. Just, it's always a remembrance. Don't stand behind the fat guy. Second thing to do is seek to arrange restitution. Restitution means that you're willing to do what you have to do in order to make things right and to bring things back into balance. Okay? Now, we're aware of this. So let's say that I owe you $50. And it's been kind of a bone of contention between us. How could I fix that problem? I owe you $50. How about if I just give you $50? That's easy, right? That's restitution. Look, sorry I did that. I ran into your car. It cost you a couple $100 to get your car fixed. Here's a couple $100. Sorry. I'm not a good driver. Okay? Sorry. That's restitution. Paying back money is easy because you can count it. But what if you're in a situation where you've hurt somebody deeply? Money's not the answer. Hey, I'm sorry I said you were stupid. Here's $50. Hope you feel better now. That doesn't work that way. That's not. Although it might. Anybody here want to call me stupid and give me $50, go for it. I got broad shoulders and I've been called worse. You need to ask this question: is there anything I can do or anything I need to do to make this up to you? See, here's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Because now I'm not just accepting responsibility for saying something wrong, I'm accepting responsibility for fixing it. What do I need to do to make this better? I've told husbands when they come and you know, they've cheated on their wife. And I've told them, look, it's up to you now to make this right. And if she wants a phone call from you every 10 minutes once you leave the house, you're going to call her every 10 minutes once you leave the house. Well, that's not fair. It's not fair that you did what you did. You've got to carry the water now to make that up. And if that's what it's going to take for her to feel better, if that's what it's going to take to regain her trust, then you do it, and you don't whine about it, you do it. When we deeply hurt somebody, we have to regain their trust. And whatever it costs, we do. Lynette and I had a time where I was youth pastor and then a pastor, and we had kids and going through, and I was so busy. I was doing this. I was coaching football, and I was doing this and doing this and doing this. And bless her heart, she took a back seat to everything. And we got further and further and further apart. And finally, I recognized my sin. And yes, it was a sin. Gentlemen, it's a sin to ignore your wife. It's a sin. That is the person that God has given you. That is the person who is supposed to be part of yourself. And if you ignore her, if you treat her poorly, shame on you. You're sinning. Do I need to make it any plainer than that? Ladies, your husband is a man that God has put in your life. And if you're trash-talking him and always talking him down to your friends, or if you're telling him how bad a husband he is and all that stuff, you're sinning. That's not your job. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Your job needs to be to pray and ask God to do something in his heart. You're not going to make him better. You're not going to make her better by telling them how bad they are. It just doesn't work that way. So we got to a point where I honestly thought we weren't going to make it. Now, you've heard me talk about my wife, how much I love her, and she's my best friend. But there for a while, it was rough. And so I asked her, honey, what do I need to do? I'm so sorry for the way I've been. What do I need to do to make it right? And she said, I need one night that's mine. Can be with the kids, can be without the kids, but I need one night that's mine. And we started instituting a date night. And sometimes it would be us taking the kids somewhere. Sometimes it would just be me and her. The kids would go to my mom's house to spend the night. But I gave her one night, and nothing intruded on that night. I didn't reschedule it. I just made sure that I wasn't going to do anything that night. Why? Because that's her night. See, I had shown her that everything else was a priority but her, and I needed to show her that she was my number one priority. Third thing you need to do: seek to achieve full restoration. Sometimes we ask somebody to forgive us and there's still a problem between us. You're not fully restored. See, you want the relationship to get back to the way it was. Excuse me, the way it always should have been, where this offense is no longer hovering between you. See, when Lynette and I made our arrangement, it wasn't just about payback. It was about showing her that she was a priority in my life. It was about showing her how important she was to me and still is. And so as we've reached this later portion of our life, I have gone to Jeremiah and I said, look, I'm going to be gone some Sundays. All these years where Lynette has followed me around and traipsed all over, sacrificing for my ministry, it's about time for me to pay her back some. So we bought a motorhome. And we travel, and we just hang out together. And it's not about paying back. It's about making sure that our lives are meshed the way they're supposed to be meshed. It's about being together in the moment. See, I can't undo all those years that I messed up, but I can make sure that I don't repeat them. I can make sure that the times that we have together now are so good that the pain of those other years fade away. When you've sinned against someone, the onus is on you to take whatever steps may be necessary to make things right. From reconciliation to restitution to full restoration. If you're the one who did the wrong, you're the one who pays the price. With me? You did it, you fix it. You break it, you pay for it. It's like going to a glass shop. We took our kids to one of those crystal shops. We were shopping, and why do you have those things with all the little hand-blown crystal animals and stuff? I told my sons, there's the door. Do not go past that door. I didn't go in there because I'm not always the most graceful guy. I let Lynette walk around in there. That's great. She would hold things up on the other side of the store. What do you think of this? Oh, that's really pretty, babe. Magnifying glass, binoculars out. Yeah, that's great. Does it come in blue? Because I'm, yeah. And if you don't want to pay the price, don't break it. If you don't want to have to live like that, don't do anything wrong. There's a novel concept. Now, three hows. How do you do it? How do you get to this place? First of all, take ownership of your actions. I already hit on this a little bit. If you did the wrong thing or said the wrong thing or failed to do and or say the right thing, then you need to take responsibility for it. And again, it's not, I'm sorry I said that, but you make me so mad. No, I'm sorry I said that. End of discussion. Because we're real good at justifying ourselves, aren't we? My grandpa used to say, nobody can lie to you like you can lie to you. We can justify anything if we try hard enough. Oh, well, you know, if she wouldn't nag me about the trash, then I wouldn't snap at her when she told me to take it out. Honey, you told me to take the trash out 3 weeks ago. I remember. I haven't taken it out yet, but I remember. It wasn't because you were having a bad day. I'm sorry I said that. I was having a really bad day. Sissy Lala. Well, my boss was really mean to me at work, and I was mad, so I came home in a bad mood. Okay, so you take it out on the person that loves you the most? Nobody made you do that. You chose to do the wrong thing. You chose to say the wrong thing. And you think, no, I didn't choose. I didn't choose. Like Ghostbusters. It's this Tape Puff Marshmallow Man. We didn't choose. Yeah, somebody chose. I didn't choose to say the wrong thing. Yes, you did, because you didn't put a guard on your mouth and you took your bad attitude from work or bad attitude from wherever and you brought it home. Oh, they just make me so mad when they do that. That's a you problem. That's not a them problem. That's a you problem. If somebody consistently makes you mad when they do something, that's on you to figure that out. Now, look, people annoy us. People do things that annoy us. I've said before, you know, when you're dating, oh, it's so cute the way he makes noises when he eats. She's so cute, you know. She tries to unlock the door while I'm, or open the door while I'm still unlocking. It's so cute. She just, a year after you're married, like, I can't stand it anymore. He's making these noises when he eats. I have to go in another room. What is wrong with her? Why can't she figure out? Wait till I unlock the door. Wait till you hear the clunk before you open the door. Now, what's wrong with you? But you know what? If you're that torqued up about that, that's your problem. All right, he makes noises when he eats. Tell him nicely, honey. It kind of sounds like a herd of buffalo are grazing in here right now. I'm not quite sure how you say that nicely. Or here's the thing, maybe you just ignore it. Maybe you just say, you know what? There's so many things I love about this person. I'm okay with this. And you're all like, nope, not, that's not going to happen. Not me, boy. Is it a big enough hill to die on? Is it a big enough problem that you're going to make an issue of it? Really? They make noise when they eat, and that's, you know, now you're plotting their death? Really? Is it worth that? You can't shift the blame to someone else. He made me mad. He didn't make you anything. He did something. You chose to be mad. Nobody makes you do anything. Well, I take that back. The sheriff made me shave, but not that I'm bitter or anything. Oh, he's not watching this. I might have to, well, he knows. I saw him Friday. I told him. Can't shift the blame to other people. It's you. You have to own it. If you did something wrong, you've got to own it. Look the other person in the eye and say, I was wrong. I did something I shouldn't have done. I said something I shouldn't have said. And there's no excuse. So I'm asking you to forgive me. None of this mamby-pamby whining. Well, I'm sorry, but I was really upset that day. Shut up. Come on. David told the Lord in Psalm 51, against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what's evil in your sight. You'll be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Because that's the other thing we say. Well, yeah, you know, I did something wrong, but you shouldn't be that mad about it. You don't get to choose that. You don't get to choose how mad they are. You're blowing it out of proportion. Ooh. I saw a thing on the internet the other day that said, man, when you're arguing with your wife, just tell her that she's overreacting. She'll realize it's true. And everything will be fine. Okay, that was either written by somebody with a really wicked sense of humor or someone who's never been married. Gentlemen, if you're in an argument with your wife and you tell her you're overreacting, yeah. Yeah, you might want to step away, like quite a ways away. The next county may not be far enough. And not only that, it's just a really stupid thing to say because you don't get to choose how I react to you wronging me. That's not your power. You don't get to choose that. You can never be fully forgiven and the relationship can never be fully restored if you're not willing to take responsibility for your part in the conflict. Aren't there a bunch of you like right now that just wish you'd stayed home today? Just really didn't want to hear this stuff, Jerry. Really didn't want to hear this stuff. And again, I've told you before, I don't feel sorry for you. I've had to live with this all week. This has been going on in my heart all week. I don't feel sorry for you having listened to it for 45 minutes. Second thing, take ownership of the follow-up. Now, This is where you make restitution, you seek restoration. It's not fun being in the payback phase. It's not fun when you're doing what you have to do to make things right. It can feel forced. It can feel awkward. I'll never forget my wife. We were early in our marriage. I said, well, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. She said, no. If I tell you what I want you to do, then it's not the same thing as you doing it. And I just looked at her and thought, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to help you out here. Okay, you're all going to owe me a dollar later. Ladies, let me tell you something about guys. If we were going to do it the right way, we would have done it the right way. If you don't tell us what the right way is, I guarantee you, we don't have a clue. We're making a step up as we go along. And we're not doing a good job at it. Okay? We don't always know. Look, I like the person that my wife wants me to be. He's a nice guy. He's a lot better guy than the guy I am on my own. The guy on my own is like two steps above a caveman. Okay? The guy my wife wants me to be and expects me to be, he's actually nice to people. He actually communicates in full sentences. He cares about other people. That's not me on my own. So ladies, you have to condition us. Okay? And, I just want it to come from your heart. Look, if it's not going to come from our heart, we wouldn't do it. But you might want to tell us what's supposed to come from our heart. And gentlemen, you all owe me now. Because I have just saved you a lot of conversation. And ladies, some of you are laughing because you've had that conversation. Right? There's a lot of it. Well, yeah, you know. Look, it's just like raising a child. It really is. Marriage really is. It's like raising a child. When a baby comes in the world, it doesn't know what's right or what's wrong. You got to teach it. You got two people from totally different backgrounds, totally different families. Unless you're from Arkansas. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you will get that later. Two totally different families, two totally different backgrounds, and now you're going to put them together in a house and tell them, okay, live together. In fact, not only that, the Bible says, the two shall become one. The first time I read that, I was single, and I thought, of course, the two should become one. Then I got married, and I started thinking, maybe God has a really mean sense of humor. Because how are Lynette and I going to become one? Because she has a whole different... Now, if she would just do things the way I want all the time, everything would be fine. But that ain't happening. If I would just do everything the way she wanted, everything would be fine. That ain't happening either. So we work it out. I learned that there are certain things I shouldn't do. I shouldn't burp in front of her. No, that's how I show it's a good meal. No. We'll leave that one alone. Okay, let's go on. Seeking forgiveness includes seeking to make amends and seeking to make everything right. I need to make everything right. I need to take care of it. I need to take ownership of it. Psalm 51 again, David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Lord, teach me. Restore me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you and then I'll teach other people the way it is. If you're going to have children, the time before you have, when you're married, before you have children, that's the time to start figuring out how you're going to live. Because your kids need to see a united front. And trust me, your kids need to know you're in this because it's you against them. And they cheat. Kids are cheating dogs. No offense. So, look real back here. She looked at me, she's like, shh, don't tell anybody. You need to demonstrate to the other person that you mean business. And you're going to do what it takes. Third step, take ownership of the outcome. A lot of times when you ask for forgiveness, the other person's like, forget about it, let's go on. Great. But sometimes they don't say forget about it. Sometimes the hurt is too deep. Now, they don't say let's move on. They also don't say, well, I'm going to stew about this for a while. They just won't say anything. Now, we all know, we showed earlier, that's not good for them. And if you're here this morning and you have something against your husband, your wife, and it's been stewing in your life, you're dying on the inside. Unforgiveness, I've said it before, I'll say it a million times, unforgiveness is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You're the one that's dying. You're the one who's constantly in turmoil about this. And the way you get rid of that turmoil is to forgive them. And look, and I know, I hear it all. Yeah, but Jerry, you don't know what they did. I don't know what they did. And I don't care. Because we're commanded to forgive. We're not commanded to forgive unless it's a really big thing. We're not commanded to forgive unless it's something that really hurt us. We're commanded to forgive. No questions asked. In fact, I don't have the scripture up, but we're to forgive the way Christ forgave us. Lock, stock, and barrel. Out of love. Because that's his nature. And if you do something to wrong me, I must forgive you. So here's the thing. If they won't forgive you, and this is a long passage, so I put it up here. You need to remember that it was your actions or words that set this conflict in motion. You did it. If the relationship remains strained for a while, you can't place the blame on them. Yes, they should forgive you, but if they're unwilling or unable to let it go just yet, you need to be prepared to deal with that outcome. If you're the one that caused the hurt, you're the one that pays the price. And you've got to do what you can to make it right. Now look, I know this isn't exactly a popular message, but it's necessary, isn't it? This is real life. This is what we do. This is who we are. This is how we live with one another. If someone offends you and you can brush it off, great, but you can't expect that of everybody. If you've done something that caused conflict in a relationship or brought pain and disappointment in the life of someone you love, you've got to own it so that both of you can get over it. I know husbands that are guilty, feel guilty about the way they treated their wives. Parents who feel guilty for the way they've treated their kids. Kids who feel guilty for the way they've treated their parents. We go around feeling guilty. We go around with all these obstacles in our relationships because we won't own up to them and make them right. Take ownership. Take ownership of your actions. Take ownership of your responsibility and make things right. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So if you've done something that hurts somebody, that's your first step. Go to God and make it right. And God will forgive you. Now, go ahead and read that verse with me again. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Do you see any hedging of God's bets right there? Is he saying that there are some places I won't forgive you? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If you have been wronged by somebody and they ask you to forgive them, you must be faithful and just to forgive them. And they have every right to ask you to forgive them. And you have every responsibility to forgive them. As a Christian, that's your responsibility. What I can't have, what I don't have responsibility over, is making you forgive me. I just don't. I said earlier, you can't be right with God and stay wrong with others. Go back to Matthew 5:23. If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that somebody has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Look, it doesn't say if you've sinned against somebody, does it? It says if somebody has something against you. Look, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe they just took something you said the wrong way. That happens. Maybe you did something inadvertently and you hurt somebody's feelings. Go to them and ask them to forgive you. What does that cost you? What does it cost you to make sure that your relationship is right with another person? What gets in the way? Pride. Well, I'm not saying I'm sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. That's not what it says here, is it? If they have something against you, go to them. Here's my challenge to you today. If you know you've wronged somebody, call them on the phone. Go have coffee with them. Send them a letter. Do what you can to make it right. Because here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you meant to be wrong. It doesn't matter if you were trying to be ugly. The bottom line is, there's somebody there that's hurting because of something you did. And you have the power to fix that. And for some of you, this rift goes way back. Right? I talk to Christians. People call themselves Christians all the time. Yeah, well, you know, I got this against this person. I've had it forever. Really? Maybe you need to ask yourself if God's forgiving you of your sins. If you've hurt somebody, you need to make that right. You can remember, you can't make them accept it. But you never know what your actions, your words will do in the lives of another person. I told you before, my dad left when I was a kid. And I hated him. Hated him with a passion. It was a summer camp one year. And God dealt with me. And I honestly felt in my heart that if I didn't make my life right with God then, if I didn't get all that forgiveness out of my heart, God was going to quit talking to me. That was like my last shot. And I ran out of the chapel. Literally ran out of the chapel. Right in the middle of the message. Because I couldn't take it anymore. And I could take you to Tuckwitz Pines in Idlewild. And I can show you the rock. I went down this little gully behind the chapel. I can show you the rock that I laid across. And I cried. And I wept before God. And I said, God, I don't want to forgive. I hate this guy. But I forgave. And I felt such a freedom. So I called my mom. Mom, I just want you to know, I'm sorry for the way I've been acting, and I just want you to know I forgive you. She cried. You know how moms do. I called my dad. Dad, I just want you to know I'm sorry. And I know I've been wrong, and I'm sorry, and I forgive you. He said, okay. And he hung up the phone. And I was devastated. Because that was not what I was looking for. I didn't find out until years later that he cried that night. But see, I learned a valuable lesson that night talking to my good friend Bob Cave. Bobby said, Jerry, you can't change him with your forgiveness. You can only change your heart with God. If you're here this morning and you've hurt somebody, reach out to them. Make sure you're right. You're not going to change them. And they may be exactly what they've waited for. Great. If not, just know you've done what's right, and now the Holy Spirit's going to do his job in their life. Do not put this off. Because the only person you're punishing with your unforgiveness is yourself. Do not let this fester. Do not say, well, I'll do this tomorrow. I'm not ready today. No. You're ready today. You're ready. Let's pray. God, thanks.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.